The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Welcome, everybody, to Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton.
I'm Natalie.
So good to have you here on the show where we cover the stories the mainstream media largely ignores, or at least they put their propagandic spin on it. We're going to dive deep into the Maui fires tonight and what exactly is behind it. There's plenty of theories that are floating around online, but we're going to stick to the facts. But the facts are troubling in and of themselves, and we'll let you draw your own conclusions about what caused it and who's behind it and what does the future hold for the island of Hawaii.
Plus, we have a new special counsel investigation of Hunter Biden for his litany of ne'er-do-wells. And we're going to talk about it because it does not follow the normal formula of the Mueller investigation or the Durham investigation. Why is that? We're going to break that down and see, is there two-party justice system? I'm just putting it out there. Plus, we're going to look at documents showing just how much of Dr. Fauci is owed in royalties, how much he cashed in on during the pandemic, while you were told not to stay home and not make any money and just collect, you know, stimulus checks.
Also, Zelensky decided to fire a bunch of people in Ukraine because he's shocked to find out that gambling is going on in this establishment. Can't believe what's actually happening there, even though we reported on it months ago and it was called Kremlin propaganda at the time. But now turns out the corruption was very, very high, very, very deep. We'll talk about all of that. Plus, unbelievable story from the U.S.-Mexico border where child concentration camps discovered by whistleblowers revealing what is actually happening there to the tune of thousands of children being kept in certain buildings while the Biden administration and the Governor Greg Abbott administration in Texas basically ignores what's actually happening at the United States southern border. All of that and more as Redacted starts right now. We hope you guys are enjoying your summer, the last days of summer, if you can believe this, creeping up into the fall of the year when it's back to school, back to work time. And we're going to be taking a few days off here over the next week or so, a family vacation. So all of us, not just kids at camp, it'll be the Morris Griswold family vacation. Uh-oh. So we're going to be off for a few days. Road tripping and seeing the sights with Clark Griswold driving. Beep, beep. No, we're going to have some fun.
It will be Griswold level because all grandparents are coming.
Yes.
So I'm going to come back bald.
Bald.
Are you going to Wally World Europe?
Wally World. Yep, they're going to go see Wally World. Hope they're open.
Who's outside should have told you.
Yeah. I was going to say, hopefully none of them come home on the hood of the roof of the car. So. Right.
Why are these sandwiches wet? Oh, man. Great.
Clark, she's dead.
Oh, boy. Good to see everyone here. And we apologize. We've been tweaking some audio things. whole new setup. And so when we come back from a little vacation in a few days, we're going to have a whole new setup and stuff. So, but the team has been like sort of tweaking some audio, fixing some things. So if you might notice some changes tonight, just bear with us as we kind of walk through it all. But we should mention we have a daily newsletter. And you can still get that newsletter tomorrow morning before we hit the road and spend a few days off. All you need to do to get our great newsletter is go to redacted.inc and put in your email address and then click submit. Then you'll receive a welcome email. It'll go to your spam folder. Gmail labels us as dangerous. It might go to your dangerous folder. And then you just need to click confirm that you want to receive the newsletter. And then tomorrow morning, bright and early, we will publish that newsletter. Natalie does an amazing job writing the newsletter. I go in and do some editing and add some different things, but it's a team effort here in our house to try to bring you a great newsletter that you can read in about 5 or 10 minutes over your cup of coffee every morning. It's a good time. So anyway, go to redacted.inc.
Suavero LePew is my favorite new username, says Clayton was just on a vacation. Yeah, Clayton, too much having fun. So what do you have to say to that?
Hey, you can never have too much vacation.
Thank you, Suavero LePew.
Now, to be fair,
my favorite username.
Yes, I had to take my kids to a camp and then I was there nearby. So, yes, I took, let's be fair, back in February, Natalie did her little trip with her
family.
Oh,
you want to do this in front of everybody?
You just did. You just decided to do
it. Okay. All right. We're going to keep score like that.
Yes,
Suavero LePew.
Apparently you are. You're agreeing with Suavero here.
All right,
because if you don't take here's a little tip about this show and all of the research and work that we do on this show. If you don't take a little time off, you'll turn into Kramer when he's hopped up on too much coffee and you'll go a little crazy. So
yeah.
you need to have that time off.
Oh, don't I know it. I can't sit down at conversations with regular people anymore because I'll just sit down and be like, do you know the whole Navalny thing was bullshit?
He wasn't poisoned.
I can't talk about normal things.
People like Natalie, we just wanted to see if you wanted pastry.
Yeah.
Those people at a party.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you guys
for a long time.
Would you guys like some tea or coffee? Do you know that Navalny wasn't poisoned with tea?
It's like with speaking of tea.
Oh my God. All right.
Yeah. I'm gonna bring
an
Agatha
anywhere
Christie.
Anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greetings, Nina the Mystic. Nice to see you guys. So we are live. Good to see all of you guys. Thank you guys for subscribing. This is a free show. We hope we bring you value here every day when we do this show. We put a lot of hard work into it, and all we're doing is trying to seek the truth here and wherever the truth may lead us. If we find out tomorrow that, that Joe Biden is a saint and he literally walks on water, we will report that. We will bring you that information. But that hasn't happened yet. So we will. We'll keep our eye out for that.
Sure.
All right, now to the big news. Let's get it started. Now to the fires in Maui. Is it one big land grab? That's the question today. Is it one big land grab? Is it part of a World Economic Forum plan to turn Maui into a 15-minute island or a series of islands using the 15-minute plan where you don't have to drive cars, use fossil fuels, just walk or bike to everything that you need, be fully run on electricity and solar power? Fully on renewable energy. We're going to stick to the facts, though, tonight, using publicly available data from the United States government and multiple publicly available sources so you can draw your own conclusions about what's going on in Maui. So on Sunday, President Biden spent hours relaxing on Rehoboth Beach. And when he left the beach, a Bloomberg reporter asked him for his thoughts on the amount of death and destruction in Hawaii. A Bloomberg reporter asked him this. And President Biden responded, no comment. No comment. Like, literally, okay. Do you remember when George W. Bush was lambasted, and rightly so, for his disastrous Katrina response? And that photo was released showing him flying over New Orleans, famously. Like, he was at a fundraiser in California and flew over New Orleans, they took a picture of him, like, looking out the window on his way back to Washington. Yeah, that didn't go so well for President Bush. It doesn't go so well when you're just relaxing on the beach in Rehoboth Beach, and when asked to comment on the greatest U.S. wildfire disaster in American history, in modern American history, you say no comment.
Yeah, or when Trump went to Puerto Rico and, you know,
threw paper towels at people,
that also was not a great look. And so, yeah, we have to give equal criticism here, right? Like, you can make the point, he's on vacation, leave the guy alone. Right. We're not going to make that point.
No, presidents of the United States don't get to go on vacation. You know, and even by the way, when they're on vacation, they have a mobile White House that's with them. Like there's no vacation for the president of the United States. You sort of cash that chip in when you decided to run for president. Go ahead, David.
And at the very least, like, oh yeah, I don't know a lot about it, but my thoughts are with them. You know, something. But like to say no comment, that's like the biggest blow off you could get. Give them.
Yeah. Well, and we at this point, it's Sunday. You know plenty about it, right? I mean, you've called in FEMA allegedly. You've issued disaster declarations, presumably. But you can't make a comment to a reporter about it? Okay. Anyway, let's not get off on that. But nevertheless, that's how this all started on Sunday. But he did manage, though, over the weekend to announce an additional $24 billion for Ukraine while on vacation. So leave the guy alone. He's sunning himself, but he still manages to get $24 billion out the door for Zelensky. But Maui, no comment. No comment on the over 100 Americans who have now died. And by the way, they're still having families submit DNA to the city because they don't know where a number of people are. So this number is presumably going to go up. We need your family's DNA because we can't identify people. We don't know where they are. And when we find bodies, we're going to have to try to, you know, identify them in some way. No comment on the mysterious nature of these wildfires popping up in prime real estate areas just a short time before hurricane force winds arrive. No comment on that. No comment on why there are no tsunami sirens or evacuation alerts to get people out safely. The siren system works incredibly well across Maui. I've covered it for years where we would go live, back in my days on Fox News, we would go live to the island when there were any sorts of big storm warnings occurring on the island and information that needed to be gotten out to the people. Even in the dark of night, those sirens would go off. Why were the sirens not used in this situation at all? No warnings, no alerts of any kind. Odd that it wasn't used in this particular neighborhood. Listen to NBC News ask the governor about this very story.
Earlier, I spoke with Hawaii's Governor Josh Green and began by asking him to respond to those complaints from residents who say there was no warning.
Yeah, the tragic nature of this fire, which was made worse by 80-mile-per-hour gusty winds from the remnant of Hurricane Dora, took out telecommunications, and they were fighting three other fires. That's what I've heard so far.
My understanding is there's a pretty robust siren system there, but it didn't work. Was there a human failure or equipment failure or a little of both?
It's too early for me to tell. Much of the equipment was destroyed with fire, and it's a very remote place. Of course, we would never diminish any kind of responsibility. We will leave it to HAIIMA, which is our emergency management team, to help explain things going forward. Right now, we're doing all that we can to support the families who have lost loved ones and to make sure everyone has health care and soon housing because of the devastation. It is much like an atomic bomb hit Lahaina, which is a part of Maui, leaving utter devastation.
Very little, if anything, though, is coming from the federal government right now. This is not us saying this. This is the Washington Post reporting this. Very little, if anything, is coming from the federal government. FEMA, again, the Washington Post saying this. Here's the headline. The most emergency aid and resources are coming from local island residents, Native Islanders, providing resources and all sorts of information to be able to help this. Here's a very little, if anything, coming from the federal government. Here's a quote from the from the Washington Post. There's no government agency helping us, quoting a Native Islander. That is it. No government agency helping us.
Okay. Kind of a repeat of Puerto Rico.
Right, right. Yeah, and by the way, this isn't, again, this is the Washington Post saying this.
And NBC News.
And NBC News. And by the way, we'll get to ABC News here in a second. So these are not like far right-wing publications or anything like that. These are establishment mouthpieces of the Biden administration for all intents and purposes saying this.
It's interesting that he said the equipment was destroyed. The tsunami alert equipment, because, okay, we don't have a log of that somewhere. You never wrote down when was the last time this was tested. Right. You know, you have to have the actual speaker to know when you did it last. You would think that the way these things work society is like, yes, that happens every Sunday at noon or what have you.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, and we covered something a while back where, remember when there was like some kind of a alert went off and people got all these messages on their phone over there? There was like a terrorist attack or something like that.
Yes.
It was like a mistake. But like
it was a missile strike
to their phones as well.
Yeah, a text message alert system. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was a missile strike. Right, Philip.
Yeah. So we don't know how.
And to me, though, it seems that
Like a disaster warning system, if it's so centrally located that a single location taking damage can take it out, that is not a well thought out emergency system. It's got to be spread out all over them. You know what I mean? Like a single booth somewhere.
Yeah, right. But we're talking about it in the past tense. Like the equipment was destroyed. Right. But it's meant to warn people. Right. It's meant ahead of time to get the message out about evacuate your houses, evacuate because of high winds, evacuate because of storms, not afterwards.
Well, he's admitting it didn't work. And we can't do any forensics on it because it's destroyed. Like I said, I know
it's like
when
someone cut the phone lines.
I mean, don't you have one of those logs like at a 7-Eleven bathroom? Like, when was this tested last? Come on.
If you've been in a 7-Eleven bathroom anytime recently, the last time it was checked was 2001. Many people are now rightly questioning the timing and location of these fires, though totally destroying the city of Lahaina, a city that, as you saw from the governors and the footage there, that they just showed totally destroyed. Now, this city is totally destroyed. And a city that has fought against development by wealthy outsiders for decades. And you don't need me to tell you this. It's easy to look up. It's easy to see. All you need to do is, in fact, you can speak to the families who've talked about not wanting to give up their homes and not wanting to be sold out and bought out by resort developers. And so they've continued to keep their small businesses, their small family inns, their small restaurants, the cafes, the coffee shops. They've kept that. And the overwhelming number of people who live here have lived here for decades in this town. Some going back to the early 1900s in this town. And many people are questioning the timing of all of this. If you look at the demographics of this area, when you study Lahaina's demographics, you'll see a mostly Asian population with a large Native Islander population. Many families refusing to sell their land to billionaire developers over the years. In fact, you can see the latest development projects that are already approved for Maui on Hawaii's government portal. So I spent quite a bit of time today going through Hawaii's history and approval of these projects. Here in green are the projects already set for approval. Those are already approved. Here in yellow are pending projects. And here in red are the proposed projects that haven't been approved. But you notice right there in the center of your screen, that's Lahaina. Notice how all of those developments, see all of those houses, all of that area is just like off limits. Because guess what? People live there. Well, not anymore, because now it's all been destroyed. So this area had basically been off limits to development because, you know, Native Islanders and longtime residents refused to sell their homes. So who knows? Perhaps there's nothing nefarious going on here at all. But now this entire city has been totally destroyed. Lahaina is now destroyed. And according to ABC News, this is not, again, a right-wing publication. ABC News says this: Lahaina residents worry that a rebuilt Maui town could slip into the hands of affluent outsiders. So in a matter of like days, it didn't take very long for ABC News to speak with locals about their big concern. This is something they've been fending off for years, and now it's a real concern because are people just going to like up and move? They're going to sell off their land. They'll end up paying it to the highest bidder. Will insurance even cover it to rebuild? They kept them from buying their land for decades in this area. So Maui County estimates that more than 80% of the more than 2,700 structures in the town were damaged or destroyed. 4,500 residents are newly in need of shelter. And according to the census data that I looked at, about 13,000 people live in Lahaina. So, and most of them are homeowners. Over close to 60% of them own their own homes in Lahaina. But oddly, reporters are being kept from the town and asking questions. Ashley Probst is the editor of the Maui Times. Her parents lost their home. They've lived in this home since the year 1911. Her childhood home was destroyed this week. She's being kept from doing her job as a reporter and editor of the Maui Times, trying to get answers from city and government officials as to how this fire unfolded and what do we do now to help get people the response and answers they need. Here's what she had to say.
This narrative that the media is lying about the reality of the Lahaina fire is incredibly frustrating for me because I am the media. I am the editor of Maui Times, and I have tried relentlessly to get direct information from the County of Maui as well as the Maui Police Department. Both entities have been radio silent and have not responded to any of my calls or emails over the past few days. I also spoke to Maui police officers in person in Lahaina, and they all denied me my First Amendment right to freedom of the press by denying me access to Lahaina Town, as well as denying me information. They even sent me on a wild goose chase trying to find their media coordinator, who had conveniently gone home for the day by the time I found where he was supposed to be. So it is not the media who is lying to you, because I am obligated to only report what has been confirmed. Who's lying to you is the government entities who are trying to cover their asses and not take accountability for how grossly mismanaged this entire situation has been. Maybe if we make this go viral, I'll actually get a response from them.
Good girl.
So yeah, where will this land go? How will it be treated? By the way, her family lost their whole family business. So they had an inn that they ran totally destroyed. So she's a reporter from that town, knows it very, very well. So where will this land go? How will it be transformed? It's anyone's guess. But if you listen to the World Economic Forum and the new governor of Hawaii, Josh Green, they want to turn Hawaii into a poster child for green energy. I mean, this is like the World Economic Forum's like wet dream. They love Hawaii. Hawaii has become a darling of the World Economic Forum. How Hawaii plans to be the first U.S. state to run entirely on clean energy. And of course, then they got their newly installed governor and the move away totally from fossil fuels all to a renewable electronic future. But also, not just electronics, artificial intelligence. So a big piece of Hawaii's plan, as Hawaii has publicly spoken about this, the governor has publicly spoken about this, is to basically run the entire island using artificial intelligence. So that artificial intelligence, we don't know how deeply this goes, right? Elon Musk is warning us about the dangers of it. So when you have artificial intelligence basically monitoring and running everything on the island, keeping up with all of government services and its citizenry and everything that's happening there. All right, do you guys trust AI to be your government? Did you elect AI to be your representatives? But I guess you are, that's how it's going to be run.
The only way people can get on and off the island is fossil fuels. I mean, like, what are they going to do?
Right.
You're just trapped here.
Right. And right. And it's amazing, right? People can't travel in this area right now. They're being blocked off and cordoned off, but tourists can still fly there. Like, you can still use fossil fuels to hop on a plane and fly to Hawaii. That's no problem. And the idea that we're ever going to be able to use some sort of renewable battery technology for airline flights is laughable. Absolutely laughable. So it'll be interesting. Here, Governor Green explains to the United Nations, he's been speaking about this and about Hawaii's plans for monitoring everything that will happen on Hawaii using artificial intelligence, although he doesn't quite use those words, but that's exactly what the plan is if you read the details. Watch.
In the old days, decades, generations, and even centuries ago, thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people lived in Hawaii and had a sustainable culture for food. And that was something that we still recognize. To that end, we have done some things, and we hope to be able to share this much more in time. One is the Aloha Plus Challenge, which is a data-driven approach, which we can share with our states and with anyone who feels that it would be helpful to track the SDGs, to make sure that we embed them in all of our policies.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to embed every data-driven approach. We'll have this, the SDGs, the ESGs, and all of the environmental protection plans in place, and we'll be monitoring it using artificial intelligence so that every business is compliant and everything is being tracked, and we know how these 15-minute cities unroll. So again, there's a lot of speculation as to what this will now mean for Lahaina and these other areas that were burned, or what Hawaii's future will look like as a result of this.
And can I just say something? Mm-hmm. My grandfather lived off the land. He was born in the Big Island. He had no shoes. He lived in a hut. His dad was killed in a train accident as a laborer. And that is not, that's a life he wanted to escape. It was an incredibly difficult life. He joined the service so that he could serve during World War II. In order to leave Hawaii, because it was such a hard life. So you're romanticizing this life that my grandfather had to work his butt off in order to leave, because there's a really high fatality rate, low life expectancy. You have to work for every single calorie that you've got. Like, he was begging for food in the sugar plantations where my Spanish family was working. Like, the idea that this guy's like, this was a great life, let's go back to that, is incredibly insulting to some people's histories, like mine included. Well,
yeah. And it's like, think about it. It's like, if they're going to roll it backwards, you're basically going to roll it back to like what, Japan, before they like allowed, you know, you're going to now allow any trade. Oh, you guys want computers? You want TVs? Sorry that we can't manufacture those in Hawaii because we can't get the stuff. We're just going to have to use what we have here. So, you know, we can make certain like things, but it's just going to be like walled garden.
Yeah. I mean, I get that we want to like romanticize this, but you know, it was incredibly hard life. And there are certain things about being Hawaiian. They're like, oh, we were voyagers. We had connection to the spirit world and or whatever, like you want to say about being Hawaiian. But like, this is a life that people want to actually push themselves into prosperity and not have like barefoot children that could die of diseases.
I guess what got them there? Fossil fuels, right? Trade, being able to bring things off island there, it was, you know, enabled this island to prosper, right? Fossil fuels. And you want to get away from that. You want to totally get away from that and move towards, you know, an energy policy that is literally crushing Europe right before your eyes. Just look at what's happening right now in Europe. This is, you know, this is a sort of a harbinger of things to come in this country. So here, Governor Green...
I was just going to say, there's always blowback with stuff like that, because what they don't always ever take into consideration is if they're going to do all that stuff, they have to retrofit ships to deliver products on this other stuff for these carbon neutral or whatever the heck they're going to do. And the cost for everything for those people will skyrocket, and you're going to just completely crush the poor. The people that are living comfortably there wouldn't be able to do so.
Right. That's who always gets hurt by it, right? So here, Governor Green explains how Hawaii's green energy interests should be that they've been really leading on this, and people need to pay attention of where Hawaii plans to go. Watch.
We tried to lead on energy and climate. We were the first state to mandate 100% renewable energy for electricity. So it's, again, an opportunity as a small state with technically a small footprint, but we do punch above our weight a little bit because of our position in the Pacific.
So is this a larger WEF plan to turn Hawaii into a WEF planned state with 15-minute cities? Are government officials purposefully keeping the media from reporting the true story here? Let us know your thoughts on this. We don't have all of the answers, but we're certainly presenting what we do know about these planned developments, what these government officials are planning, and what the response has been from the federal government here and the lack of federal assistance and local Native Islanders who are having to step up and actually provide and take care of their local people. So that's what's happening. We'll see what happens to Lahaina, though. Will it be rebuilt the same way? Or will developers be able to swoop in and buy up that land for pennies on the dollar?
And who are the insurers here? Are they going to be making good on their policies? I'm always interested because a lot of times people have like named storm coverage, and I don't know what's customary to get in Hawaii. But a lot of insurance plans are like, you're only covered if it's a named storm. Well, you know, does it count that it's winds from a storm, and what was the impetus of the fire? These are really important questions that will have real world implications in people's lives.
We've got more news to get to here on your Monday. We're going to talk about Hunter Biden and the switcheroo that's happening in the Hunter Biden prosecution and this sort of sweetheart deal that he thought he had, but maybe that's totally gone now. We'll look into that. Plus, we're going to look at this unbelievable story from the U.S. southern border. It's shocking. Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel are going to be joining us from the border on this story. They've been tracking what's happening with the children in these concentration camps. Yes, I said it. Concentration camps at the U.S. border in the United States, in Texas. We will bring you that story coming up. But first...
First, we want to tell you about our friends over at Crowd Health, because I'm sure you've seen it when you have friends who get an unexpected medical expense and then they have to take it to a GoFundMe or what have you. That's because, of course, health insurance is so broken in the United States. Premiums are increasing, deductibles are getting larger, claim denials are becoming more and more common. You know, the headache of health insurance is exactly why Crowd Health was created. It's not health insurance, it's a better way to pay for healthcare through crowdfunding. And by crowdfunding, we don't mean you ask your friends for help on GoFundMe, it means you pay into a fund that you can tap into when you need it. CrowdHealth gives their members the freedom to efficiently and affordably break free from the antiquated insurance system and into healthcare options that fit your need. They take care of you. The insurance companies don't give you this peace of mind. You know, if you've ever submitted a claim, like I once did when I was on vacation, and my daughter got pink eye and I had to submit a claim from a Mexican doctor, and you just hold on, hope that they don't say no. And you sort of feel like, did I do wrong taking my baby, my 7-month baby, to the doctor for pink eye? You know, because they slap you on the hand. That's why your $50 a month membership includes the tools and services you need to get the highest quality healthcare and put you in the driver's seat. You don't have to second guess your choices because you know you'll be covered. So it's time you opt out of restrictive health insurance plans and let CrowdHealth help fit your healthcare needs. Get started today for just $50 per month and use our code REDACTED to get the healthcare you deserve. One more time, that's crowdhealth.com and use our code REDACTED to get the healthcare you deserve. CrowdHealth, again, is not insurance. Learn more at notcrowdhealth.com. Join crowdhealth.com. Let me just repeat that. Join crowdhealth.com and use our code REDACTED.
All right. We want to thank everyone for subscribing. If you haven't already subscribed to the show, we do this show live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Good to see everyone. Let us know where you're joining us from around the world. Old Biker says another EV started a fire. You think an electric vehicle started a fire there? Wouldn't that be just totally ironic, right? Who's your daddy? Says LOL. Nice to see you. Penny Salmons. Kung Fu Toe. Kung Fu Toe. By the way, speaking of toes, I slammed my toe the other day when I was surfing. And it was like purple. So I had a kung fu toe. Nice
it was to like a rainbow of purple.
It was really bad.
And violet and indigo. Was gnarly. But he had an x-ray.
Sounds beautiful.
It's not broken.
If you do subscribe, your name will pop up here on the big board. Yes, it will pop up here on the big board. And if you're watching us on Rumble or YouTube, thank you guys so much for being a part of our show.
All right, we're going to move on. So imagine, if you will, that you are Hunter Biden's lawyers and the Justice Department offered you this sweet deal on a long list of things that your client is basically going to get away with. And then all of a sudden that sweet deal is no longer on the table. Be like, what? I took this. I thought this was an easy. This is not a slam dunk. No.
He's like, go on, have a great weekend. He's like, wow, I got that one. Pulled that wool over their eyes.
Yeah. Just as you thought you got away with it, right? That's what lawyers for Hunter Biden said in a filing on Sunday. Here's their response. It's actually, I'm going to show it to you in depth later because it's a little bit comical. They're kind of like, let me just paraphrase. They're like, dude, you offered us this, like you offered to pay for dinner here. And now you're not? What? So they were due this response because the Justice Department filed a motion to dismiss the entire case against Hunter Biden. This is the one where he got a sweetheart deal. We're going to go over it in a second. So in a late Friday news dump, the Justice Department said, we're going to hire a special counsel. Oh, and dismiss this lawsuit because we got to go back to the drawing board, basically. So just to recap, Hunter Biden, he has so many smoking guns of bad things we can't even count. We know that the Justice Department was trying to shield information from his laptop on social media. We know that already. We know that his laptop showed that his father was supporting his lifestyle and at the same time benefiting from payouts from foreign actors, both Bidens. We know that the younger Biden paid for sex workers and drugs out of his business accounts. We know that from Congress. None of this conspiracy theory now. We can all, I think, agree on this. We know that President Biden lied about not being involved in those business accounts. I don't think anyone disputes those things. Biden supporters only just say, is that so bad? Is that, you know?
What Biden supporters say and what the media has said is, oh, but he's got such a loving father.
Right.
Like that's been like this. They twist and they're like, but, you know, Biden standing by his son, like that's love. That's family love.
OK.
Right?
You know, he literally like sold influence to, you know, for political influence. That does not benefit it basically sold out the entire American population. Remember, I was just thinking about this today when they're like, is that so bad? Remember how the media freaked out about how Donald Trump was surcharging the government on golf carts and hotel rooms and his properties when he was president? I mean, that in and of itself was like a minor scandal, that he was benefiting from the presidency personally by using his hotels for diplomatic meetings. And we all freaked out about that. You're not supposed to do that, right? But literally selling access to a politician, we have to think both of those things are not right. We have to have stronger rules about both of those things. Don't you agree? Clearly not. So the Justice Department knows about all of this. They offered him a plea deal with a fine and no jail time. And a judge in late July refused to sign off because it seemed to her that she was being asked to rubber stamp a deal that would preclude any further trouble for Hunter Biden. And she absolutely thought that smelled fishy. Here's what she said in that hearing on July 26th. She says, "I'm not convinced that this actually is a plea under subsection B, which you all suggest is me rubber stamping the plea if it's a knowing plea. But even if it were, I have testimony under oath both that the defendant is concerned about ensuring that he has immunity from additional charges and also that, well, he doesn't need that in terms of the plea deal. So I need to think about it." So what she's saying here, and I read that kind of badly, I apologize, is that, like, I can't sign off on him for future things. I can only sign off on this thing, what we're charging him with.
Right. Like, you're asking me to sign off on future immunity.
Right.
From future crimes.
And she's like, that doesn't smell right.
What? Like,
that's,
like, he gets
right.
Like a blanket
that
immunity.
Great.
I know. Like, he's got some sort of blanket immunity. What the hell? Like, yeah. We're just going to, what I rule on now will future proof him in the, you know, for things he does in the future.
Right. And, you know, the Biden administration wanted this to just go away, pay the fine, tax deduction. Right.
Right.
Is the fine a tax deduction? I would assume it is. Yeah.
I guess so.
And so then, you know, this is over for us. We can campaign. We can put it behind us. No more Hunter Biden laptop stories. So that's why on Friday, Attorney General Merrick Garland announced that there would be a special counsel. And the Justice Department then, while they're getting ready for that, asked the court to just disappear this whole Delaware case. Here's the filing. They said, "Can you please dismiss this with prejudice?" I'm sorry. "Respectfully submits this motion to vacate the court's briefing." And basically, let's, like, clean slate, dismiss the case, and then we will start all over with a special investigation. So now we have a special investigation. It bears asking this question. Why do we need all these special investigations? Like, shouldn't we have a full trust in an investigation as it goes forward, right? Now we have, this is the third most, you know, high profile one in about 5 years. So here is AG Garland announcing this on Friday.
"In a July 2023 letter to Congress, Mr. Weiss said that he had not to that point requested special counsel designation. On Tuesday of this week, Mr. Weiss advised me that in his judgment, his investigation had reached a stage at which he should continue his work as a special counsel, and he asked to be so appointed. Upon considering his request, as well as the extraordinary circumstances relating to this matter, I have concluded that it is in the public interest to appoint him as special counsel. This appointment confirms my commitment to provide Mr. Weiss all the resources he requests. It also reaffirms that Mr. Weiss has the authority he needs to conduct a thorough investigation and to continue to take the steps he deems appropriate independently, based only on the facts and the law. Mr. Weiss will also continue to serve as U.S. Attorney for the District of Delaware. As special counsel, he will continue to have the authority and responsibility that he has previously exercised to oversee the investigation and decide where, when, and whether to file charges. The special counsel will not be subject to the day-to-day supervision of any official of the department, but he must comply with the regulations, procedures, and policies of the department. Consistent with the special counsel regulations, at the conclusion of Mr. Weiss's work, he will provide me with a report explaining the prosecution or declination decisions reached by him. As with each special counsel who has served since I have taken office, I am committed to making as much of his report public as possible, consistent with legal requirements and department policy. Today's announcement affords the prosecutors, agents, and analysts working on this matter the ability to proceed with their work expeditiously and to make decisions indisputably guided only by the facts and the law. The men and women undertaking this investigation are public servants who have dedicated their careers to protecting the citizens of this country. The appointment of Mr. Weiss reinforces for the American people the department's commitment to both independence and accountability in particularly sensitive matters. I am confident that Mr. Weiss will carry out his responsibility in an even-handed and urgent manner and in accordance with the highest traditions of this department. Thank you.
All right, so he took no questions and he, you know, cut and ran right out of there on a Friday. Now, I want to just sort of highlight that he said that Attorney Weiss will decide when, where, and whether. Those are a lot of hypotheticals, right? And to charge Hunter Biden as if, like, there are other places that might be better for this. There are other times, right? So these are things that you're like, is that more convenient for Hunter Biden or is it not? Which is, it's a valid question. Now, they basically have to go back to the drawing board. This sounds like an okay idea, right? Because this plea deal, we should all agree, was a sweetheart deal. Now, maybe there'll be a real investigation with real charges. Maybe, but there are some weird things about it. First of all, why is this weird? Attorney General David Weiss asked to be the special counsel, even though he is already investigating Hunter Biden. This means he gets broader powers to look in more broader communications and coordination. But that's a bit like auditing your own taxes because he already has been investigating Hunter Biden. Second, according to the general powers of special counsel, a special counsel has to come from outside of the government so that there's no conflict, such as the one I just pointed out, because you shouldn't be looking into an investigation that you've already looked into. Here is the law from that code. It says a special counsel must be a lawyer with a reputation for integrity and impartial decision making, and with appropriate experience to ensure both that the investigation will be conducted ably, expeditiously, and thoroughly, and that the investigative and prosecutorial decisions will be supported by an informed understanding of the criminal law and Department of Justice policies. So Bob Mueller and John Durham, they were both pulled out of private practice to conduct their special counsel investigations. So presumably AG Garland knows that the special counsel has to be from outside. Why do we get one from inside?
It's a glaring oversight, right? I mean,
it's
right there, right in black and white. There's no ambiguity about it. They cannot be working in the government to take this job.
It's from the Code of Federal Regulations. Like, it's literally written there. So, you know, that someone from outside takes a look at, like, it's an audit. Basically, it's an audit of an investigation. Now we have so many whistleblowers inside the IRS saying we were precluded from looking at certain things. We were shut down when we tried to look at certain things, and that it was not the head of the IRS that did it. The head of the IRS said this comes from outside, above my pay grade, right? So we know that somebody was doing something. Who was it? We absolutely should get an impartial look at this. Is this the right guy? Now, he's saying, Attorney White, that he needs to investigate how this Hunter Biden case has been investigated, but he never said that he was even done. So back in June, when the sweetheart deal was announced, he released this press release, and I know this is a crappy look at it, but it just says underneath, this investigation is ongoing. He never said this is the end of it, that plea deal. So we kind of had an inkling that he was going to keep going. And so it's just a bit confusing, right? Now, he knew there when he wrote this in June that there was more here. So the question just remains, did the government try to end this investigation with this plea deal or didn't it? In my opinion, which I know you didn't ask for, I think the two major special investigations that we've got in recent years over Russiagate and the Trump firing of James Comey, I think those both got it right. This one doesn't have an outside lead, though. So can we put our full faith in these, given that those two have, in my opinion, garnered trust in the Justice Department? But then this one has this major conflict. How are we supposed to feel? It's hard not to draw conclusions here. We're going to keep trying. I'm not drawing conclusions. I'm just asking questions. But interesting, again, is this response from Hunter Biden's lawyers to the government's request to dismiss the Delaware case. They're basically saying, like, look, you offered this deal, this sweetheart deal. We still want it. Here's their filing saying, first, you know, we accepted this idea that we settle. Second, you know, the settlement was proposed and dictated from prosecutors. So their fourth point is like, we're still here to finish it off. We know the judge said we couldn't have this deal, but she said to work out a new one. We still want to stay at the table. We'd still like to take this deal, please, and just work it out in a way the judge will sign off on. I don't think they're going to have that chance. This deal will probably go up in smoke, and they will contend with a lot more heat through this new special investigation. Again, so, you know, we have two ways to feel about it. One, they didn't follow the rules on how to appoint a special investigator, and they're auditing themselves. But two, the previous two special investigations we got were fairly well done. So, it's a glass half empty type thing. Let me know how you feel about it in the comments below.
Indeed. Well, we've got a lot more news to get to here on your Monday. We're covering a lot of big stories. We just covered the update, the big update on the Maui fires and what the federal response is there. I know I just saw one person saying, how dare you guys take a vacation during this time? Well, everyone needs a vacation, and we are going to take one with our family. So, and this is a free show after all. So we do appreciate you joining us here, but it is important for people to take some time with their families. I know I get a little feisty about that, but I just find that funny. So anyway,
Clayton literally this weekend had to sit me down and say, stop reading these kind of books. Like, you need to slow your roll. You're screaming about stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you need to read a fictional novel. And I was like, I can. So I have to take a break from this because I'm going a little loopy. And
everyone needs a break, but for someone to say, how dare you take a vacation? It's like, really? Okay.
Right.
Okay. Just to be clear, everyone needs a little bit of space from the amount of research that we do on the show. But anyway, at the end of the day, this show is free for you. We hope that you enjoy it. You don't have to spend anything on it. So we hope that we bring you value. All we ask is that you subscribe for free. If you subscribe or maybe smash that like button, that's all we ask. And you can push this out into the ether for us. Someone said Oliver Anthony for president. By the way, what an amazing story that guy is, right?
Oh, yeah.
We reached out to him to have him here on the show. We were hoping to be able to line that up for after when we, he's been busy and we're trying to line it up. Anyway, I'd love to be able to have him on the show. That'd be amazing. An amazing story, and really like a voice of this time right now. You know, for so many people feel left behind by this government, right? Mm-hmm. And so anyway, I just saw that in the comments, like Oliver Anthony for president. So he had an amazing turnout yesterday, I think, for his concert.
Yeah, I think they said 25 acres of cars or something crazy like that. I may be off on the metric.
That's the power of social media and speaking the truth. So yeah, amazing. Anyway, we've got more news to get to here. We're going to talk about the Dr. Fauci cashing in. How much money did Dr. Fauci make off of the pandemic? Will he answer those questions? Senator Rand Paul has some more questions about how much money he's actually made. Plus, President Zelensky of Ukraine has now decided to fire a huge swath of people in his government, citing corruption. And the stuff that these are his words, that he uncovered or they uncovered was absolutely outrageous, jaw-dropping, basically, and just vile. He apparently didn't know any of this corruption was happening. Interesting. We reported on it months ago, and the Wall Street Journal did as well. So surprising they're just finding out about that. Also, we're going to take you to the southern border and a big update there on these child concentration camps where these children being trucked across the border are being kept in the United States. We'll get there in a second. But first, are you an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks? If you are, we'll tell you about that in a second. Oh, yeah, we'll tell you about it right now. If you're an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks and you want 16 free stocks, all you need to do is go to redacted.inc/Moomoo and sign up today, and you can be trading like a pro with Moomoo in no time. It's our favorite trading platform, and I love it because I'm able to set alerts. I set the morning bell alert, so I get a little update of the stocks that I'm following, the companies that I'm investing in, whether it's minerals companies, gold companies, silver companies, uranium companies, actual commodities companies, people that are pulling things out of the ground and helping us survive, fossil fuel companies, things like that. And I like to set alerts like that and be able to trade like a pro. Moomoo is an amazing stock trading platform that enables you to set all sorts of different alerts, but also they give you high-level access to pro items that you would normally pay for on other platforms, like level 2 quotes and things like that. And with Moomoo, you don't. But the best part is you get 16 free stocks when you sign up and you open an account and you make your initial deposits in your account. And now they just rolled out Canada. They are now available in Canada. So all you need to do to get a bonus, you get a $100 bonus there in Canada if you sign up right now. Go to redacted.inc/moomoo and get up to 16 free stocks, including a Google or a Tesla stock for free when you open the account, when you make your initial deposit. So our friends at Moomoo, just by going to redacted.inc/moomoo. Someone in the chat says, invest in potatoes. Can you invest in potatoes? I mean, I guess you can. I guess you could invest in companies that pull
like potato futures, right?
Potatoes futures? Are there potatoes futures? I know like hog futures and things like that.
I don't know.
I've never heard of that before.
I don't know. Potatoes are a nightshade.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah, they are a nightshade. Okay. All right. All right.
Did Dr. Fauci make money from drug companies during the pandemic while he was telling you to stay home, not go to work, figure out if you can collect money somehow? Wasn't his problem. He was just fine collecting royalties from drug companies. Now, Senator Rand Paul asked him about this just directly about a year ago during Senate hearings, and he brushed off the question as ridiculous and even said, yeah, you got your talking point. Remember this?
And from which companies? Over the period of time from 2010 to 2016, 27,000 royalty payments were paid to 1,800 NIH employees. We know that, not because you told us, but because we forced you to tell us through the Freedom of Information Act. Over $193 million was given to these 1,800 employees. Can you tell me that you have not received a royalty from any entity that you ever oversaw the distribution of money in research grants?
Well, first of all, let's talk about royalty.
That's the question. No, that's the question. Have you ever overseen, Senator, have you ever received a royalty payment from a company that you later oversaw money going to that company?
You know, I don't know as a fact, but I doubt it.
Well, here's the thing is, why don't you let us know? Why don't you reveal how much you've gotten and from what entities? The NIH refuses. Look, we ask them. We ask them, the NIH, we ask them whether or not, who got it and how much. They refuse to tell us. They sent it redacted. Here's what I want to know. It's not just about you. Everybody on the vaccine committee, have any of them ever received money from the people who make vaccines? Right. Can you tell me that? Can you tell me if anybody on the vaccine approval committees ever received any money from people who make the vaccines?
Soundbite number one, are you going to let me answer a question? Okay, so let me give you some information. First of all, according to the regulations, people who receive royalties are not required to divulge them even on their financial statement, according to the Bayh-Dole Act. So let me give you some example. From 2015 to 2020, the only royalties I have was my last...
Okay. So we do now have some accounting, but I think that we can get upset about Fauci. We can do that later because that's always fun. We'll just do it together as an exercise in getting our cathartic expression. But the problem here is that NIH employees are allowed to continue to receive royalties from patents and pieces of ingredients and medications that they had a hand in, and then they can promote to everybody. This is a bigger problem of what's called pharmacocracy, is just that the entire system is developed for profit in order to push medication on us, right? But about the pandemic, well, it does turn out that Fauci was cashing in on royalties from drug makers, and so were a lot of NIH employees, 2,400 to be exact. Now, we're not saying that they were specifically cashing in on the COVID vaccine, but we don't know whether or not they then looked at certain, you know, recipes or treatments for COVID and said, that one would be good, and then I'd catch a royalty on that. We don't know. We know the U.S. government, in fact, did cash in because they licensed patents to Moderna and Pfizer and the other COVID vaccine makers. But We're talking now about which doctors were accepting royalties. It hardly seems fair. Now we know this because a watchdog group called Open the Books made a Freedom of Information request asking for employment contracts, financial conflicts of interest, and confidentiality disclosure documents, plus a job description for Dr. Fauci, as well as royalties paid to NIH employees by outside entities. This was requested. They denied it, the Department of Health, and so they took them to court and filed a lawsuit in 2022. Now, ultimately, we have it. So again, these are basic questions for Dr. Fauci, who was the lead of the pandemic. Do you make money pushing any medication, not just the vaccine? So here's a classic. This is, again, a classic example of what the legal principle is, qui bono, which is a perfectly reasonable thing to ask. Who is benefiting from this thing being pushed onto a population, right? It's just who benefits, qui bono, who is benefiting here?
That's a funny word.
You like it?
I like it. I bet our kids would like that, qui bono.
I mean, it's like literally criminal.
I know. If I said it to my kids, they'd just start laughing.
It's criminal investigation 101. Yeah. You're like, who benefits from this?
Right.
Who's cashing in? Who is taking the money, right?
Right.
This is fundamental question here. And it should be asked for every drug on the market, every treatment being pushed. Certain drugs were not pushed because of the antithesis of qui bono, drugs we still cannot mention on certain platform. If you catch my drift, do you catch my drift?
Say that again.
Never mind.
I catch it.
Okay. Thank you. David caught it.
Qui bono.
So it wasn't just people, so qui bono, well, it wasn't the people who lost their jobs for vaccine mandates. They didn't bono, right? Definitely not those people. So now to the documents. Here is the list. This organization, OpenTheBooks.com, put them in spreadsheet form. And then what I did was just sort it by name. So I have all the ones for Fauci in one place. They asked what he had received during his time at the NIH. So you see the list goes from 2010 to 2021. Now, most of these are not directly related to the COVID vaccine, so we should be clear about that. It wasn't that he was getting royalties from that vaccine. It was just that he and other government employees were making decisions about public health recommendations while being compromised by public health. And the companies that were paying these royalties come from all over the world: China, Russia, Belarus, many US-based companies too. They get the royalties on medicines and components that are then used in the marketplace. They are financially motivated to make certain decisions because they bono, right? We covered this. You can't really hate Fauci here. You can't, don't hate the player. You should hate the game. I don't like this game. But the idea that Fauci wasn't benefiting, though, from the COVID vaccine is not necessarily true either. He was the highest paid federal government employee with a salary of $480,000 per year. So why does somebody make a big salary like that? Well, because they're expected to make their organization a lot of money. They're supposed to be valuable, right? Even if Fauci didn't personally profit from the COVID vaccine, he saw to it that the NIH did, and the United States government, because we learned back in February that Moderna will be paying the NIH $400 million for use of patents in the COVID vaccine, plus ongoing payments. Pfizer already made a big payout to the government for use of these patents that were done in the used in the COVID vaccine, and ongoing payments. So Fauci did, in fact, make the government a lot of money by pushing these vaccines. Absolutely, he did, and earned that almost $500,000 a year salary. So the NIH is still making a lot of money on these COVID vaccines. We know that Moderna and Pfizer will continue to pay them for use of this patent. So just keep that in mind as we see COVID vaccine information ramp up as we go into the school year and then flu season.
Just remember who's making money.
Just remember, yeah. Qui bono.
Qui bono. Always remember qui bono.
Yeah.
We're going to get a t-shirt redacted qui bono.
You guys are so silly with that word.
Not to be confused with a cubano, right. Which is the sandwich.
Oh, a cubano is a sandwich. Okay.
Or boner. Yeah. from growing pains. Different person.
I didn't think you were going to go there. Yeah. Or Boner. Okay. Don't get your Cui Bono and your Boner mixed up.
And Bono from YouTube.
Right. Bono YouTube. From YouTube.
YouTube.
Your Cui Bono. Your Cui Boner.
He's on YouTube. So.
Who, Boner?
Cui Boner.
Oh.
No. Cui Boner, Cui Bono.
Bono. Bono.
We've got more news to get to here on the show. Indeed, we do. We are going to talk about Zelensky firing these recruiters. Remember all those people, the men, the boys, like the 15-year-olds that are just picked up off the street and thrown into recruitment centers, or basically the conscription agents come along and grab you off the street in Ukraine and throw you into the meat grinder? Yeah, remember all of that, because those individuals who are in charge of all of that are now in some hot water. We're going to talk about that coming up. And we're also going to talk about the... What are you doing?
My coaster's gone.
Okay, like, looking around, you're making me nervous. You're like, I'm trying to talk here, and you're like doing some weird, like, if you got, you had Cui Bono. Do you need something? I don't have...
There's a lot of condensation on this. I can't put it down on this table.
If you've got condensation, make
sure
you use...
I have respect for wood.
Make sure you use a Cui Bono when you put that down on the... All right. And we're also going to talk about what's going on at the southern border as well. And someone in the chat said, where were you guys last Thursday? Right here. We did a show last Thursday. We were right here. Where were you? We were right here in the studio. Yes. Yes, exactly. We right here in the studio. So we got more news to get to here on the show. But first...
First, we want to tell you about our friends over at Indeed, because the thing about running your business is that every single hire counts, especially if you're a small business like we are here at Redacted. We couldn't just hire any old person. We need to make sure that our team is coherent and cohesive.
And they know what Cui Bono means.
And that we're nice to each other. Right. That you get my movie quotes. You know, if I were posting a job ad, I would put on them all in like cryptic movie quotes, and whoever got them, they'd be like, yes.
Be 80s, 80s movie quotes, 90s movie quotes.
We get nobody.
Your qualifications would be further down on the list, but if you could nail what someone said in a Goonies movie.
Yeah, then you're in. Okay. Don't use this as a way to attract good talent. Use Indeed and let them help you attract, interview, and hire all in one place. They have a lot of tips for doing this better than the way that I just suggested. Although, if you throw in a little, you know, movie quote here and there, I'm sure that never hurt anybody. It is your density. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. You can find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessment, and virtual interviews. And if you hate waiting, then Indeed's U.S. data shows over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their job description the moment they sponsor a job. Indeed knows when you're growing your own business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. Indeed knows hiring needs to be cost-effective when you're running your own business. And they know that when you're doing everything for your company, you can't afford to overspend on hiring. So visit Indeed.com/redacted to start hiring right now. Again, just go to Indeed.com/redacted. Indeed.com/redacted. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everyone. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
All right. Someone in the chat and on Rumble says, cornball. You guys are cornball hosts, but in a nice way. Thank you so much. Density. Someone got your density. You have to have a full density to understand that joke.
Like it.
Yes.
I'm really obsessed with this coaster thing. If you guys don't know, the day we come back, it will be my birthday. I am a Virgo. I absolutely have to have a coaster.
Oh, I don't know what to tell you.
I was using a napkin, but it got all wet, and now...
I can't help you here.
Okay.
Well, we have a show to do, so I don't have any coasters in my pants.
I don't even have...
Anybody have any coasters you can lend Natalie? Okay. Stat?
I'm going to use this cloth, but it's
going to
get wet.
Just use a cloth. That's okay.
Yeah, I always use floppy disks. I have one here if you need it.
Floppy disks.
Pass it through. I have really good internet speed, so
I have DVDs. Yeah, you have any like DVDs? I find that those work really well.
Can I use one of those Star Trek books behind you?
Get out of here! Don't touch my Star Trek books.
Do you have any classic game cartridges you could just let her sit in?
You have just go grab my copy of Dragon Warrior from 1985.
Who would
office.
Take my coaster?
I don't know.
Is all right, punk.
Yeah, let's get back to the news, shall we? Someone said Natalie's losing it. Yes, that's true.
For sure. I admitted that already.
Yeah, Dirty Dog, Sid Natalie is losing it. That happened years ago, Dirty Dog. All right, let's get back to the news. Well, President Biden, if you haven't been paying attention, just approved another $24 billion for Ukraine because they need it. But where is all that money going, you may ask? Don't ask that question, because the government sure as hell isn't. It's going, though, into the pockets
of corrupt.
Yeah, don't ask that question. But it is going into the pockets of Ukrainian government officials, corrupt Ukrainian government officials, by the way.
Nope, that wasn't right.
Corrupt Ukrainian government officials. Yeah, anyway, they're corrupt. And it's going in their pockets. So I'll just take out that word in between and make it easier on myself. Put a pin in that for a second. Back in March, though, we showed you how Ukraine was dragging men off the streets and throwing them into the front lines. And, of course, at the time, this was touted by Ukrainians saying, hey, you know, no, this is Kremlin propaganda. Like, this is Kremlin propaganda, what you're seeing here. This isn't really happening. Don't listen to what Moscow is telling you. Don't listen to independent journalists who are covering the story and actually reporting what's happening to these men who are being rounded up at cafes. And if they're of military fighting age, or even if they're not, doesn't matter. They're going to be thrown into the meat grinder. Even mentally handicapped individuals, people with disabilities. One man we featured here on the show who literally has a degenerative spinal condition, can barely even walk. Here's a mom. Remember this scene where this mom is like, no, please get out of my car. I'm not letting you take my son. Her son is in the car sitting in the back seat. And the mom is like, no, please. You're not getting him out of the car. And the police officers show up and say, sir, what are you doing here? This is our jurisdiction. We're the police. You members of the military have no right to be taking these men. Excuse me, sir. Get out of here. So this is well reported. We covered this pretty deeply here on the show. Many of these men had physical disabilities. And basically, we also discussed how Ukrainians were bribing recruitment officials to avoid being dragged away. Again, it wasn't just our report. I mean, this was Wall Street Journal reporting. Here's the Wall Street Journal. Officials last week denied that Ukraine denied this, that untrained mobilized troops were being sent to battle unprepared, though they said the length of military training has been squeezed into a shorter period of time due to the war. That's Kremlin propaganda continues to spread fakes and myths. Deputy Defense Minister Hanna Mylar said in a Telegram post, several soldiers interviewed by the Wall Street Journal near Bakhmut last week said they had been sent to battle within days of being called up. Others said they received several weeks of training. And then, of course, the Wall Street Journal went on to explain more of the corruption and the payments and the bribes. But that's Kremlin propaganda. Okay, remember that. That's Kremlin propaganda, according to Ukraine. Well, it turns out, I guess the Kremlin propagandists were correct, because it wasn't Kremlin propaganda at all. Ukraine just confirmed it themselves. According to Barron's, Zelensky fires the head of military enlistment in all Ukrainian regions. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Friday dismissed officials responsible for military conscription in every region of the country, citing corruption allegations that he said could amount to treason. We are dismissing all. They're not just one. All of them are corrupt. We're dismissing all of the military commissars. The system should be run by people who know exactly what war is and why cynicism and bribery at a time of war is high treason. Kyiv has been conscripting Ukrainians for assault battalions for its counteroffensive against Russian forces to recapture territory controlled by Moscow's troops. Turns out that billions of dollars have gone into the pockets of corrupt government officials. You know, the ones responsible for the men being dragged off the streets, thrown into the meat grinder on
Wait,
the front
can you
lines.
Put that back up. It says that last screen.
From Barron's?
Yeah. The move reflects Ukraine's efforts to clamp down on graft. What did they mean by that?
Like the amount of money being taken, bribes, I mean, being taken, you know, paying people off. Like, you're paying off these officials, right? I mean, that's how I read it.
Is that what that means?
Right? I mean, yeah.
Isn't that like
grift? Did they mean grift?
Yeah, that's the wrong word, right?
Is graft...
Graft is not...
Isn't the past tense of grift? I don't know. But anyway, I guess look it up.
I did look it up, and okay. I don't see a definition that would fit in there. But,
right.
Okay, I'm sorry to derail. I just wondered what that was, and yeah, they should stop that.
An intent improperly to influence official action need not be alleged or proved, as it must be in bribery. Graft involves compensation for service performed in an official manner.
Didn't know that word.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
Anyway, it turns out billions of dollars have been grafted.
Got it.
Into the pockets of corrupt Ukrainian government officials. Qui bono. The ones responsible for dragging men off the streets, throwing them into the meat grinder of the front lines. 33 government recruitment officials were fired. 33 of them. In all of the conscription territories. 113 crimes were charged. 113 crimes. That's more than Hunter Biden. On Friday, Zelensky...
100 more, to be exact.
Yeah, 100 more than Hunter Biden. 100 more, if you're keeping track at home. On Friday, Zelensky explained that...
110 more. Sorry.
Okay.
113.
On Friday, Zelensky explained that the investigation resulted in 33 officials overseeing conscription being charged with these 113 crimes. He said, during the inspection of the territorial recruitment centers, law enforcement officials exposed cases of corruption, in particular during the general mobilization, he said, which poses a threat to Ukraine's national security and undermines confidence in state institutions. Is there confidence in Ukraine's state institutions? Like, it'd be interesting to see what the Ukrainian people and how they feel about their own government state institutions. Do they have confidence in it? Because apparently this is being undermined.
I mean, that's so nice, except that new conscription laws say that you can literally, like, go into people's apartment buildings and ask the property management who lives here and go and find them. So,
well, you, even under the DIA app, we've covered the DIA app that is now rolled out digitally. So every Ukrainian has access to this app, this application, which rules their life, tracking everything, right?
Yeah.
And of course the United States behind it, and USAID and everything, pushing this massive app to make sure everything is tracked in Ukraine. And in the DIA app, of course, you can snitch on your neighbors. You can rat them out. There's a feature that they openly promoted, and we featured here on the show, where you can literally say that you believe your neighbor is a Russian sympathizer. Like, John, he didn't pick up his trash in the yard. I'm going to label him a Russian sympathizer and watch the security forces swoop into his house. You can literally do that in Ukraine. Now Zelensky is taking matters into his own hands, though, and pretending to be outraged. I love this faux outrage. It's like a good actor. Right. They conducted this investigation. We didn't know this was happening. We conducted this investigation. We're rooting out corruption here. The investigation is revealing numerous abuses, he says, and they're frankly revolting. He is pissed. Listen.
I wish you health, fellow Ukrainians. I have just held a meeting of the National Security and Defense Council, a special one. The key issue was the results of the inspection of the military commissars. Reports were delivered by the State Bureau of Investigation, the Security Service of Ukraine, the Ministry of Internal Affairs, the Prosecutor General, the National Agency on Corruption Prevention, and the National Anti-Corruption Bureau, comprehensively. In total, there are already 112 criminal proceedings against officials of the territorial recruitment centers. 33 suspects, regional, city, and district military commissars, employees of the military medical commissions, other officials, abuses in different regions, Donetsk, Poltava, Vinnytsia, Odessa, Kyiv, Lviv. Some took cash, some took cryptocurrency. That's the only difference. The cynicism is the same everywhere. Illicit enrichment, legalization of illegally obtained funds, illegal benefit, illegal transportation of persons liable for military service across the border. Our decisions are the following. We are dismissing all regional military commissars.
All
this system should be run by people who know exactly what war is and why cynicism and bribery in times of war constitute treason. Instead, warriors who have gone through the front line or who cannot be in the trenches because they have lost their health, lost their limbs, but have retained their dignity and have no cynicism are the ones who can be entrusted with this system of recruitment. This decision is to be implemented by Commander-in-Chief Zeluzhny. The new heads of territorial recruitment centers will be vetted by the Security Service of Ukraine before their appointment. Every military commissar against whom there is a criminal investigation will be held to account. Absolutely fair. In full. If the dismissed military commissars and other officials wearing shoulder marks against whom no evidence of crimes or violations has been found want to keep their shoulder marks and prove their dignity, they should go to the war front. However, I emphasize that the army is not and will never be a substitute for criminal punishment. Officials who confuse their shoulder marks with profits will definitely stand trial. The issue of the military medical commissions. Now, this system is not working decently.
And he goes on to talk about that. So they're really going to root out this corruption. And, you know, we're going to make sure, we're going to vet, this time we're going to vet the people who are in charge of all of these different regional offices. Basically implies that we didn't vet them the first time. So all of these people, every one of them, he says, was stealing American money. All of them. The millions, the billions that we've sent to them, flowing right into the pockets of these people. And we reported it here, and the Wall Street Journal reported it, and others have reported it, and it was considered Kremlin propaganda. Was it Kremlin propaganda back months ago when they also fired a huge swath of his inner circle for corruption? Oh, we got rid of all of them. It's all clean now. Oh, you did? Okay. So then months later, now you get rid of another 33 and file 112 to 113 criminal charges against them for stealing American money, flowing right into their pockets. But even beyond the money, forget the money for a second, because America just prints and makes up fake money anyway. Think about the men that are being rounded up and thrown into this meat grinder. And certain people can get paid off so they don't have to go. But people who don't have the means, these poor Ukrainian boys who don't have the means, who are just being grabbed, thrown in, or some men who are, you know, studying at university, being taken right out of their college classes and being thrown into the meat grinder and dying, you know, being killed. I mean, the army is basically destroyed. So this is a death sentence. This is a death sentence. And what is it? It's amazing to me to see these men, these conscriptors who are going around grabbing these people who aren't then going to the front lines. It's like they get a free pass, like because they probably are paid off in some way with these guys. All of them are corrupt. So they get the cushy job of being the conscription people that can go into Kyiv and go into these bars and nightclubs and cafes and grab these men and throw them in to fight this NATO war. That's at the heart of this. And it's just absolutely disgusting. But don't worry, we've rooted out the corruption now in Ukraine. I just find the timing of all of this very, very weird, don't you? I mean, $24 billion goes there. Like, what's happening? Why suddenly are we hearing about this? They've been annihilated on the battlefield. Like, is this some sort of a provision from NATO? Like, hey, we need you guys to clean this up because the word has gotten out. The Wall Street Journal is reporting on this. The New York Times has even covered this corruption. You know, when it's in the New York Times, then we got to do something about it, guys.
Yes, but, you know, corruption is not a new thing in Ukraine. In fact, you know, the IMF in 2014, when the war on the Donbass began, the IMF started warning them, you better knock this off. You're spending $1 million a day to bomb these people. Stop it, because affecting your ability to pay back. We don't want to fund a war. And they warned about it for 6 years. And then in 2021, they finally just said, we can't offer you any more loans. And then, next year, they get all this money because the whole world's willing to give money to Ukraine now that the IMF is no longer. Interesting timing, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, you know, an entire generation of young men just killed because of this corruption in this phony proxy war. Anyway, let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. We've got more news to get to. We're going to take you to the front lines in the southern border with Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel, who are doing amazing reporting about an unbelievable story about children in concentration camps. And we're really working on this story right now with Michael and Ann as they develop these sources and information about these children being kept in the United States against their will in these concentration camps where the Biden administration is basically ignoring it, pretending it doesn't exist. Governor Greg Abbott in Texas basically ignoring it and not even admitting that they exist. So we're going to bring you to Texas in just a moment for this awful, awful story.
All right. But first, we want to tell you about our friends over at COVIDtaxrelief.org, because they got a small retail business almost $80,000. COVIDtaxrelief.org got a manufacturing business nearly $250,000. And COVIDtaxrelief.org got a large distribution business almost $900,000. If you run a business, church, or nonprofit and paid your employees all throughout or part of the pandemic, you could qualify for up to $26,000 per employee through the Government CARES Act. But beware of clickbait or pay upfront companies who make you do the work and then take a huge percentage of your refund. COVIDtaxrelief.org receives a low, reasonable commission only after you receive your refund. So it's worth looking into. And with 300 CPAs and tax experts, no one is better at getting you the maximum benefit than COVIDtaxrelief.org. So visit COVIDtaxrelief.org right now because this plan expires soon. That's COVIDtaxrelief.org, COVIDtaxrelief.org. Refund examples are not a guarantee and not all businesses apply or qualify. So check them out for yourself. COVIDtaxrelief.org.
Well, now to some breaking news from the southern border and the child trafficking story that we've been covering here extensively on the show. Illegal immigrant children being kept in concentration camps in America. This is a phrase that I never thought would come out of my mouth. That's right. These children with no parents, not allowed to go outside. All of this happening while the Biden administration, the Governor Greg Abbott administration, ignoring the situation. Our next guest spoke to a whistleblower at a secret child concentration camp facility in Texas and joins us now. Welcome back to journalist Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel, host of Right Now with Ann Vandersteel. And Ann, welcome to the show for the first time. Good to see both of you.
Thank you, Clayton.
Thank you, Clayton. The things that we've been seeing are over the top. For instance, two nights ago, Ann and I and the rest of our team were out with a whistleblower who used to work in these facilities, and he also served as an escort. So they actually take these children and fly them around the United States, such as to New York and many to Florida. And often, interestingly, many of the escorts are 19, 20, 21 years old, and they're staying with children up to five, even 10 children. When it's five children, it's often just one escort, like a young man with teenage girls or boys, that sort of thing. And sometimes they stay overnight in hotels together when their flights are delayed or whatever. And often they're delivering these to home, these children of mixed race. So it's not like somebody, it's like, you know, it'll be boys and girls sometimes from different countries that are being delivered to affluent homes in places like Florida. And so this is very interesting. We're all over this. We're looking into it deeply. In fact, we're going to head to Florida soon and look more deeply into it. But Ann saw a lot of things that I didn't see as well.
You know, the part that was so...
Yeah, tell me what you saw. Well, you've been over the past few days at a Walmart facility speaking with these whistleblowers. We have images here and videos that you guys have sent. There's sort of a checkpoint. You pull up to an old Walmart and there's a checkpoint to even get onto the premises. Just tell me what you saw, Ann.
Well, what's so frankly deeply disturbing on all of this is the fact that you have corporations like Walmart that are now turning their closed facilities. Remember, we lost a lot of businesses during COVID, and most of the ones that survived were the Walmarts and the Home Depots. But in fact, Walmarts did close all over the country, and they're being rehabbed into these facilities that house up to 5,000 migrant children in one building. So you can imagine the conditions where they're not even allowed outside, and you have the parking lot cordoned off. Right there in the open where other businesses and retail pads are still open and people know what's going on in the community. They're aware that they're holding all these migrant children. You have security that when you pull up and you pull out cameras, walkie-talkies and security guards appear everywhere and start to surround you to make sure you're not videotaping these facilities, which are right out in the open. Southwest Key Programs is one of the non-governmental organizations that I've been tracking for about 3 years now. And they are known to not only be paid publicly by the government hundreds of millions of dollars per year, but they're also taking that money and financing the coyote cartels to smuggle these children in. And they prefer the younger the better because they get more money per child the younger the child is. They're also funding the lobbyists, which are then, of course, greasing the politicians to encourage the policies and laws that are delivering the open border nightmare that we are witnessing today. It's changing the face of our country. It's burdening the taxpayer. Crime is through the roof. And frankly, Governor Abbott shut the border during COVID, Clayton. He could shut the border right now. Instead, he's visiting with the mayor of McAllen, Texas, having big summits down here in McAllen, Texas, congratulating McAllen for their tax revenue growth in the retail sector, and they're encouraging paving over agriculture so that they can expand the international bridge into Mexico and bring in the fruits and vegetables from Mexico over and above the Made in USA label. So all of this World Economic Forum agenda is playing out right here on the southern border, and Texas is going to lose their electoral college if this progression changes. But again, frankly, it's at the expense of the children, which is the real profit center for these NGOs and frankly, for the federal government becoming the largest human trafficking purveyors in the world.
I know when we say that, right, we say the United States government is the largest purveyor of human trafficking in the world. We certainly know the accusations leveled against the CIA as being actively involved in this. And here you have these facilities hosting 5,000 children in old Walmarts with guards and guard gates. I'm looking at this Welcome to the South Key program's guard gate that when you pull up, they're watching you. This is unbelievable that this is happening in America. What is the response from the Biden administration when you bring this to, you know, Secretary Mayorkas or any other member of the Biden administration?
You know, I'm glad you brought up Secretary Mayorkas, Clayton, because a team of researchers has done a deep dive, led by an attorney, Todd Callender, who's actually got a case in front of the 10th Circuit, taking it to the Supreme Court, questioning the validity of these vaccines and what it does to your sovereignty based on the 13th Amendment. Setting that aside, this team has uncovered the fact that Secretary Mayorkas and every member of the Biden administration, including Kamala Harris, including federal judges, including U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves, all have deficient, defective, or non-existent oaths of office on file. What do I mean by that? When you swear to uphold and defend the Constitution, you have to do two-part process. One is 5 U.S.C. 3331, where you put your hand on the Bible and raise your right hand and swear to uphold the Constitution. And part two is 5 U.S.C. 3332, where it must be presented in a written format, notarized, and kept on file within 30 days of taking public office. These people are deficient, defective, or non-existent when it comes to that second part of the oath, which then begs the question, to whom do they really have an allegiance? Are they even up for treason based on the activities they're engaging with this open border policy? And of course, just the abuse of these children is unfathomable what's going on right now.
Yeah, treason. That's a great point, Anne. Michael, when you talk about what's happening with these children and the travesty that's unfolding, you talked about where these children are being shipped to. They're being housed here. What is the facility then that's moving these children from these abandoned Walmarts to homes in New York and across the country? Who's doing this?
Well, for instance, a whistleblower who would probably go on your show, actually, we can ask him today. He was one of the escorts for several years. His name is Carlos, and I think he would, actually. And he was one of the escorts. They'll take him to McAllen Airport, which is just down the road from us here, or Harlingen Airport here in Texas, and they would fly them to like Jacksonville or Orlando Airport, as an example, and then they rent a car. Well, if their flights get delayed somewhere in between, they would get a hotel with no oversight whatsoever, staying in the same room. He was instructed they were to stay on the couch and the children would stay in the bed, up to five children. It could be up to 10, but in those cases, they would have two escorts. And at times, they would actually lose children at times, like gone. And nobody knows what happened to them. Oh, yeah. And then so they deliver them to homes, right? They deliver them to homes in affluent areas. I ask, and Ann and I ask, we must have interviewed him for 10 hours between the 2 days, right? And we said, you know, do they deliver them to RV parks or to boat ramps or to trailer parks or what? And he said affluent homes. It was always affluent homes. Sometimes when they delivered... Sometimes the sponsors or whatever they are, we don't know how that works, would pick them up at baggage claim at airports. Sometimes they would not show up at all. And the company warned the escorts never to bring the children back. It doesn't matter if the recipients of the children are drunk or high or angry. And many times Carlos would tell us that the children were fearful. They wanted to go back to their home countries and back to their parents, which begs the question, how did you get here? Of course, which we see in Darien Gap, and we see when I'm down in Mexico, we see children who clear, Ann and I saw on the border, 3 days ago, children, you're a mother, you know, seeing children, the body language just didn't match with, I should let you talk on that.
Yeah, no, when you see young men, young adult males, chaperoning children by having their hands on the backs of their shoulders and steering the child into the bus that Customs and Border Protection has waiting for them, as facilitated by another company, ISS Action, partnering with Catholic Charities, which, by the way, is all over this down here in McAllen. We visited that facility, and we saw Customs and Border Protection agents really bro-hugging, glad-handing, high-fiving each other as the, quote, merchandise, which is the illegals, mostly women and small children, are lined up against the wall waiting to go inside to the Catholic Charities facility, which, by the way, encompasses a whole city square block on downtown McAllen, and that's right across from a bus station where they then move the people across the street, put them on buses. And as you know, Abbott is pushing these people all over the country. But Clayton, it gets even more concerning because we have multi-drug resistant tuberculosis coming in with this migrant flow, and that multi-drug resistant tuberculosis is zoonotic, and it jumps from people to animal and animal to people. So cows by the thousands, tens of thousands, are being slaughtered in Texas because migrant workers working on dairy farms or cattle farms are spreading tuberculosis to these cattle, which immediately have to be exterminated. You cannot have that. So Texas right now, Clayton, is at risk of losing its TB-free status, which is going to impact our food supply. And my beef supplier that is the sponsor for my show is warning me, Ann, beef prices are going to skyrocket 30% in October. And we see this because the dairy and the beef cattle industry is being decimated by TB all over the country with these migrants. So we have a fifth generation warfare that is being implemented thanks to the World Economic Forum's puppets like Joe Biden and Greg Abbott, which are allowing this to continue. And it just simply could be stopped if they shut the border, and they're not doing it.
Yeah, it's all part of the plan. This is all part of the WEF plan, right, to eliminate our dependency on meat or our eating of meat and move to this meatless future that they want. And they can do it under this hidden cloud of tuberculosis, I suppose. I want to get, you guys can both answer this question, or you can help me navigate this. And you've been investigating the Southwest Key programs for 3 years now. If I'm a wealthy person in Florida, a friend of Jeffrey Epstein or something, and I want one of these children, what is the mechanism by which I submit a request? Do I get it? There's got to be a paper trail here, right? Someone submits a request. They say, I'd like a child. I'd like a woman shipped to me. It comes into this facility. Carlos or other carriers deliver this child to my front door. I mean, how does this happen?
So that's an excellent question. In fact, we're looking into that right now because the way the organization, the NGOs are set up, you have somewhere between 5 and 10 critical people at the very top that own the organization, whether it's SLS, MBM, Southwest Key Properties, or any of the other big 10 NGOs that are in the country that are hosting tens of thousands of children, or actually hundreds of thousands of children countrywide. But they subcontract every aspect of managing these migrants, whether it's food, they have a subcontractor, medical support, educational support, housing support. They have different organizations underneath them. This gives them that arm's length, safety between anything that can go wrong down in the field. So when it comes to the paper trail of how does a child get tracked from Southwest Key Properties into, say, somebody's house, is it an Epstein connection? That is what we're trying to figure out right now, which is why working with Carlos is critical. He has, believe it or not, and this is a saving grace, this is why this whistleblower is so explosive and why it's going to be so critical to unpacking all this and shutting it all down and forcing Congress to defund these NGOs and to put pressure on to close them countrywide. Every single Walmart and whatever they're being housed in needs to be shut down. He has the names of children from flight logs where he took them. He has the names of children where he's been told, go to this address in Florida and deliver the child in Florida or upstate New York. Two areas that were sort of the hotbeds for where these children, and again, you look at Florida, New York, where did Epstein have a lot of connections? Florida, New York. Where did NXIVM have a lot of connections? Florida, New York. So it's the same pattern. It's the same people. It's just a matter of now finding the next whistleblower that's connected to one of these sub NGOs that will show us that paper trail, because we aren't there yet. We have delivery to a receiving quote sponsor, but we don't have how that request came in. Rest assured, Clayton, we're going to get that because we're getting this close now. We understand how the operations are coming together. And Michael and I are meeting with members of Congress in the next couple of days to put that pressure on and to really engage media, new media, alternative media, and hopefully even the lamestream fake news will finally jump on this because the jig's up. And those people are going to have to start speaking about what's really going on. We're going to force their hand on all this, Clayton. So thanks for at least giving us the platform you built.
I love it. I mean, the work that you guys are doing is second to none. And we need more human beings like you in this world. What you both are doing is astonishing. Michael, have you seen any of these children? I know you've been on the hunt. You've certainly shared with us videos over the past few months of tents and baby bottles and all of the accoutrements that are being used to shuttle these children across. These facilities are locked down and blocked. Have you witnessed children coming outside, or have you seen any of that?
Now, we see children crossing the border. We just saw that the other night or the other day.
We have the drone footage.
Yeah, I was going to mention, and some drone footage, which was by one of our sources that we were just out with. He just made 48 hours ago or so. And there appeared to be girls out at one of the facilities. The one at the Walmart, or former Walmart, whatever it is, who owns the property, we'll find out. But there's another facility, that's for boys, right? There's another facility for girls, and that one we have drone footage of, which I can send to you, and you can see children walking outside. And in fact, you could measure their height with the right technology, which exists. It's easy to do.
Michael, I got to ask you, how in the hell is this happening where this isn't illegal? I mean, someone could, you know, a 911 call to say there are 5,000 kids in this facility. Under what law are they allowed to be there and
be
protected?
We were talking about that last night.
What the hell?
Clayton, what judicial system? Where do we adjudicate anything that we know is wrong? Look at all the evidence we have of election tampering and theft. And where are we getting help? They're now going to try and arrest Sidney Powell for what they claim to be election tampering. This is they're projecting their crimes on those that are exposing their crimes. So this, I mean, I don't even know where you go. We don't have a Department of Justice. We don't even have a court system where you can get a fair shake at this. It's going to be the people, tactical civics, frankly, Clayton, and the people standing up the law all over again, like our Constitution demands with our civic duty. We have to get back to the basics here. That's where we are.
Clayton, these children are literally held in custody. They are not allowed at that Walmart, for instance, or former Walmart. They're not allowed to go outside. Occasionally, Carlos says, a few very good boys can walk across the street to the McDonald's. I sent you the map. So you can see where this is at. This is in Brownsville, Texas. Everybody in Brownsville will know where that Walmart is. You can drive to it right now and go look. And you'll see when you try to get inside, they're going to come up in the golf carts. The guards are. They're very aggressive. They're going to be on their walkie-talkies and that sort of thing, sort of blocking you from any access. Yeah, it's amazing. This is right in front of everybody. And, you know, what does it take? Just a SWAT team to go in there and arrest everybody involved. This is clear kidnapping, right? Yeah, and it's happening right downtown Brownsville.
Well, yeah, to your point, Ann, you need a Justice Department that would actually take this seriously. Instead, of course, they're more interested in going after Donald Trump right now on January 6th. Thank you both for what you're doing. I'll let you get back to it, and we'd love to be able to check back in with you as this investigation unfolds further, and we would love to speak with Carlos here on the show. If he's amenable to that, we'd love to talk with a whistleblower specifically on that issue. So thank you guys for what you're doing. Michael and Ann, again, we need more people like you in this world doing the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Clayton. Very much.
And thanks so much to Michael and Ann for joining us here on the show and continuing to reveal these horrors that are being basically perpetrated by the United States government right before our eyes, and no one's doing anything about it. So thank you for supporting independent journalism. Again, being able to support amazing journalists like what Ann and Michael are doing is what we're able to do on this show. So when you subscribe for free to our show, it really helps. It really helps to get this message out there. You guys have been able to provide us with an amazing platform, independent media, separate from the corporate media, to be able to share and shed light on these big, important stories. Again, it's totally free for you to subscribe to the channel. So please subscribe or follow us, whatever you want to call it. I know they changed the name of it. It's not some on Apple now, they call it following a podcast. So you can follow a podcast. You're not paying for it. Anyway, I guess people got scared of the idea of subscribing like you're going to pay money. You do not have to pay money to follow us or subscribe to the show on Rumble or on YouTube. But if you would like to support us and you would like to, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support us because we have a Rebels community, our Redacted Rebels VIP community. And like I said, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can click on the community button there and support us, become a Redacted Rebel. You can, I think it's like really, really cheap, like less than a cup of coffee, no joke, less than a Starbucks to support independent journalism. So go there, click on that and become a Redacted Rebel. And thank you guys so much for being a part of our show. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Until then, everyone, have a great night.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.